If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-room closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Hello, everybody.
We are live from PantheaCon.
Again, we didn't try to do that or anything. It was totally last
minute. Our enthusiasm yeah. is bubbling.
Before we talk about anything else, I just want to say thank you. I've talked to so many amazing people already who listen to the show regularly and have been super nice and come up and introduce themselves, and that just, it's awesome. So it's nice to know that people are listening and you like us.
We like being liked.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey to get here. We've had tons of rain and lots of excitement to get here. At least we did. We got a little bit later start than Phoenix and her crew. But then we got to sit in on something very exciting, which was Phoenix's presentation.
Yeah.
Would you like to say something about it?
Sure.
Good.
So the PantheaCon starts on Friday, and the starting time was a little bit different. The opening ritual started at 11 a.m., and then you have a little bit of space until the first set of workshops begin. So at 1:30 are the first set of workshops, and there's about a dozen workshops at 1:30, and then at 3:30, about a dozen more, and it kind of goes on like that until 11 o'clock at night. So I presented in the first time slot, and it was on altars and shrines.
Surprise, yes. Because you have a book.
I have a book called Who Do Altars and Shrines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's the first time slot. So I expected it to be me and my partner Leon and like two people, because it's the first time slot. Everyone's not here yet. People are still trying to check in, but we had over 40 people come, and it went really lovely and fun and smooth. And we all made travel altars. I like to do hands-on stuff. So I have all these little tins that I got. And so everyone got a little tin and then got to decorate it or, put tarot cards in it or beads and baubles, whatever, just to create sacred space to carry with you throughout the weekend. So that was pretty fun.
And I attest to that, because we got in and we were able to get here and be here for probably the just about 30 minutes before you started doing your hands-on. So she did have a good audience here. This was really impressive. And they all sat in a circle, and she had her altar in the center, and she was just going to town.
Well, like I do.
Yeah, you do. But that was a really great experience, because I'm not going to be able to spend time doing a lot of things for the next few hours that we're here, because we came here specifically to set up and do this because of Phoenix's schedule, and we wanted to do our thing. And then I wound up in the vendor room, which is deadly but beautiful.
Yeah. So on top of all of these magical delights of workshops and rituals and interesting things to go and learn and participate in, there's also a huge ballroom filled with vendors who are selling a myriad magical wares of all varieties. So it is, there is lots to do and see and take in and participate with. So,
and just amazing. I mean, there's people, we wandered around, and obviously coming to the end of the year, there is the Mystic Fair that we participate in individually as readers, and parts of that too out in Santa Rosa, California. So we were also, I was helping one of the promoters work on getting vendors. So, you know, talking to people. And in the meantime, of course, I couldn't keep my hands off a few things.
Well, sure.
I mean, just, I wound up with a goblet that has a fox on it, because you know, fox is my totem, and it was beautiful. It's a handcrafted pottery.
I got a cup from the same place.
Yes.
Mine has mushrooms on it.
Yes, well, this is the same lady, and then we wound up wandering around, and one of the vendors that supplies milk and honey, Stone Circle, was there, Suzanne, and I got to, I was just playing with the stones, and they started talking to me, these little round disc stones, and I wound up with three, and then I go, well, I'm not leaving them, they want to go home. And so she made the necklace, and then I paid for it, and of course, you know, it was kind of a, well, I guess I'm having that too. So, and of course we have Sacred Well.
Here. Sacred Well is here.
Sacred Well.
And Serpent's Kiss
and
is
Serpent's
here.
Serpent's Kiss is here. And we have
the Mystic Dream is here.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting. Now, the thing that really tripped me out is I think it's called Ice Cream. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Ice Cream. Well, when my daughter wanted to graduate high school and we were getting ready for her prom, she wanted some very special things. And she had lived growing up with Princess Bride. Now, you understand, prom in the Midwest.
Sure.
This was what we were, she wanted a custom-made dress, and she wanted a headpiece, and she wanted her shoes and the cape and all the rest of it. And the actual dress was very Renaissance.
Sure.
And this, of course, I keep wondering how she was going to walk into prom in the Midwest, kind of a thing. But then she wanted a headpiece. And the people I bought the headpiece that custom made it for is Ice Cream.
No, and they're here.
And they're here.
They do cool stuff.
And they do real cool stuff. Well, she never wore any of this to prom because she decided to walk out on her senior year and didn't graduate. She eventually did with her GED. She got married in it.
Oh, sweet.
So all the things I'm walking through and I see this, and I mean, I get to tear up, you know, because it's like that was the one piece that she made sure, because I made sure she kept all of it.
Yeah,
and her dad kept it safe. And when I got there and we were putting her, you know, all together, I had the veil that I got married to my first husband in, which was very godfatherish, you know, with the headpiece that was very big and long and fluffy. And we had that and put this beautiful headpiece on. And I'm like, so it kind of was a continuity point of reference. I got to actually meet the people that made the whole thing.
Nice.
So, and then we got to see Amber Moon. Amber Moon is an interesting vendor. They carve not just in amber, but in bone, and they make these wonderful things. And a long time ago, when I had my store, I had a gentleman who was a wood carver, but he also carved in stone. And he's long since passed away, but it was very interesting. I was looking at these things, and I was remembering the products that we had in the store. And I mean, these are beautiful. And obviously I was very impressed by them, and I'm hoping, you know, that they may make it out to to the Mystic Fair. But I was like, way a little bit out of my price range, but beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't made it to the vendor room yet. So you've got, you're filling me in on all the good places to go and check out.
Yeah.
I did get a mug, but that's good. So most of the vendors are in this big ballroom, and then there's a little strip of hallway right outside where there are a few more vendors.
Right.
And that's where the pottery person is. So.
Right. And then there's another person there that makes excellent, excellent drums. And I was very impressed with his drums and the things that he had. And I think, you know, we also had willow wood, and there was willow root makes these incredible wands.
Mm.
And I mean, that was another thing. My ex-husband, who was the jeweler, also made these pewter wands, and with the glass and the pewter and everything. And I'm looking at these wands going, they're not the same, similar, but not the same. Again, I'm revisiting my history.
Sure.
It was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah, but it's touching in. So that was exciting. And then, of course, sitting and watching all the people start to come in.
Right.
With all the different, you know, garb. And it's also hard to talk to Phoenix because she's all made up right now, almost completely. With her makeup on her face with these wonderful red lines, and she's just, you know, really
I'm invoking Hecate at a ritual as soon as the show is over, so I had to get ready before the show, so I'm quite dramatic.
Yes, she is.
Quite dramatic at the moment.
Yes, she is.
But we
and
are
we have someone here.
Yay, I'm just going over.
Okay, go for
it. So part of the exciting thing about being at PantheaCon is all of the amazing witches that are here. So we wanted to steal some of them away and have them come and share what they're doing and what they're excited about with you. And the first lovely, amazing, talented witch that has joined us is Lasara Firefox. And she is the author of Jailbreaking the Goddess and many other things. But her newest book is Jailbreaking the Goddess, which is an awesome book.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to touch base with her, hear a little bit about the book and what you're doing here at PantheaCon.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see your graceful blood-stained face.
Thank you. The blood of my enemies.
That's right. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Nice.
Yeah. It's, as always, overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, PantheaCon's overwhelming. Even though I'm playing it pretty mellow today, but I have a lot coming up over the next couple of days. Kicking off tonight at 9 p.m. with Eleusinian meet and greet in our hospitality suite, the Magical Cauldron Hospitality Suite, which is the last room on the second floor as you head down the hallway. So if people are around and want to come and join us for that, that's going to be fun. And we'll be toasting to some of the Greek pantheon and, yeah, that'll be a good time. And then tomorrow I am doing a workshop on spirit possession.
Oh, cool.
That's tomorrow night at 9. I'm doing tarot readings tomorrow afternoon and a book signing at 6 in the vendors area. And then Sunday I am doing more stuff with Magical Cauldron. We're having a noon sing. A collective thing, as my mom likes to call it.
Nice.
It's a thing together of some of the songs that we share in our circles. And that's been, this will be, I think, the third year that we're doing that. It's a very popular time for people to come together and raise their voices in jubilation and prayer.
Nice.
And then I have my Jailbreaking the Goddess workshop at 1:30.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
1:30? 1:30. I'll confirm while you continue to talk about that. Yeah.
And so that will be a Jailbreaking the Goddess workshop. And then after that, I'm doing Uprooting Patriarchy in the Fairy Suite on the 10th floor. And then after that, I'm doing a Melissa ritual at the Magical Cauldron Suite. And I think that that's it. And then Monday evening, I'm doing a book signing event at East West Books in Mountain View.
Wow, you are going to be busy.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, like I said, playing it kind of mellow today. So
yeah.
I can store up my
energy.
Yeah. The rest of the weekend.
What, can you tell us a little bit about the Magical Cauldron and what that's all about?
Yeah, it's our family traditions lineage. It's our group. It's a Magical Cauldron is a religious organization. It's not registered as a church, but a religious organization. We have an active clergy. We've been around for quite a long time now. And one of the main things that that people may know us by is that we do an Eleusinian initiation cycle.
Oh.
That is known of in certain circles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been, we adopted it from Church of All Worlds many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And when we took it on, we expanded it from a 6-month cycle to a 2-year initiation cycle.
Wow.
And which is more in alignment with what mm-hmm. the actual rites of Eleusis were. They were a 2-year cycle. And then we also have done, we aren't reconstructionists.
Yeah.
We're a lot more flexible than that, but we do tie in, we do an incredible amount of research and do tie in actually, you know, as much as we can of the real roots of the cycle from, you know, from what can be found.
Sure.
There's not a lot.
Sure.
Because it's a secret. It's a mystery.
Yeah. Right. Nice. Yeah. If someone wanted to get involved or find more information about that.
Magicalcauldron.org.
Cool.
Yeah. And so that's, I'm doing a lot of stuff with Magical Cauldron this time. And if they want to find out more about me and what I'm doing, I also have an initiation cycle. That's a 7-month initiation cycle that's based on the work in Jailbreak and the Goddess, specifically around the fivefold model archetypal system, which you know about,
I
but
do.
Our listeners.
Yes, please share about this because it's totally freaking awesome.
Okay. So, Jailbreak and the Goddess, I offer forth a fivefold model, kind of as an alternative to the threefold model, although also the threefold model can be nested into the fivefold model if people are very, like my family tradition, we do a lot of threefold stuff. And so I'm not saying, you know, that people should abandon what works for them. So there are ways to integrate the two sets, actually. But the fivefold model is specifically not based on our biological predestination concepts. So, because I personally, you know, I feel like the threefold model has a lot of embedded patriarchy.
Sure.
A lot of embedded patriarchy. And so the fivefold model is a way to sort of evolve our concepts, you know, jailbreak our concepts of the goddess so that we can become a little bit more liberated around what it means to be a woman, what it means to be female, what the feminine divine is. A lot of the threefold model, and we, you know, it's not like we're intentionally shackling women within goddess worship, but unintentionally there's a certain level of embedded expectation and really, as far as I'm concerned, outmoded ideas of what a woman is for, specifically giving children to the community or offering heirs, which is a very patriarchal idea. And so the fivefold model is we are what we are, not what we give.
Right.
So the idea of the female body as a utility is something that I talk a lot about in jailbreaking, about overcoming that idea that women's bodies are here as a utility.
Right.
It's a sexual or procreative utility.
Right. That threefold system here, like maiden, mother, crone, is very sort of uterine focused. Like this is what your uterus and your body is doing or quote unquote capable of at this phase in your life. So it does really tie that feminine divinity to what our bodies are doing.
Right.
And for folks who may be women who won't ever have a uterus or had one and had to have it taken out, that system really alienates a lot of women who want to connect to goddess work.
Definitely. Yeah. And as a clergy member, you know, I mean, I grew up in paganism, and so I have a kind of different perspective than people who didn't grow up in paganism. And I'm an anarchist and I'm a strong feminist. And for me over the years, and I'm gender ambivalent, you know, myself. So a lot of that strict binary doesn't work for me anyway.
Right.
And over the years, I've listened to my community and listened to where people were saying that they felt left mm-hmm. out of the circle or left out of the concept of the feminine divine. And this is Jailbreaking the Goddess is really an answer to a mm-hmm. to a request, which was, how can we create a community that honors and includes mm-hmm. you know, all women,
yeah,
and not just the ones who are useful to the
right,
to the,
right.
you know, procreative urge or capacity.
Nice. What are the fivefold?
Yes, good question. Thank you for asking. So the five are femella, which means child,
mm-hmm.
Potens, which means strength or potential. She's like the, so femella is like Nimue would be an example of femella.
Mm-hmm.
Potens is like, I think of Potens like the fool in the tarot. She's mm-hmm. like the hero's journey. She's that, mm-hmm. that first step mm-hmm. out on your own. It's mm-hmm. that second stage of individuation where you're stepping away from your family and into your, or, you know, stepping into your own sense of yourself.
Teenhood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Teen, young adult, you know, high school, college, those kinds
mm-hmm.
of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have creatrix. And I chose the word creatrix. All the words, all the names that I chose to use are Latin. I chose creatrix instead of like matrix or genetrix because both matrix and genetrix actually have uterine
mm.
ties.
Mm-hmm.
Creatrix does not. Creatrix is creator, and that's anything from songwriter to writer to builder to creator of worlds or mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, that she who creates. Then we have Sapientia. Sapientia means wisdom. It means knowledge. She's like the master of her art. She's a scientist, a mathematician, a judge, where Potens is like the foot soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Sapientia is the general.
Mm-hmm.
For as, you know, as a martial, in a martial arena, where creatrix is in her craft. Sapientia is maybe teaching about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we have Antiqua, and Antiqua means old woman, and she is the old woman. She's the witch at the Western Gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she and I like to envision it as in a circle rather than in a linear
yeah.
way
mm-hmm.
because we have the child and Antiqua, Femella and Antiqua meeting up
mm-hmm.
in that sense of. You know, eternity and timelessness and you know, the ineffable transitions of birth and death.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the five, and you can configure it in a linear, like I just did chronologically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a useful construct, but also one of the things about breaking away from the biological framework
mm-hmm.
is that we actually have the capacity of becoming fully nonlinear,
mm-hmm.
that we can go back,
mm-hmm.
we can be multivalent, we can be more than one place at a time.
Right.
We may be experiencing Potens in a love relationship while we're experiencing Sapientia in our career,
mm-hmm. right.
for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or we may be experiencing creatrix in our parenting experience, you know, like actually having a child while we are experiencing Antiqua
mm-hmm.
in our, you know, helping our parent to cross over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it that makes it a nonlinear because
right.
of the way things cross back and forth and weave a web more than
yes.
just a straight line.
Right. And I think that it's two things that I think are very valuable about this, the fivefold model is one, our lives are longer than a threefold model affords us
mm-hmm.
now,
you know, and then also the idea that we don't exist in a linear trajectory,
mm-hmm.
you know, any of us who are over a certain age know that we we go through a lot of different stages, and you know, so being able to have that flexibility, and I know, you know, having grown up in, like I said, in paganism, like the threefold model, people would say, oh yeah, I'm feeling very much in the maiden archetype right now, but when it's actually based on uterine capacity, you know, it's like you don't actually go back to pre-menarchy.
That doesn't happen. Born again virgin and all.
So that's part of it. The fivefold model is very much about really honoring our life experiences and the lived experience of what it means to be female.
Sounds really interesting. And I did buy your book when you were at Milk and Honey when you were there.
Awesome.
So it was very interesting. I was sort of on the periphery when you were giving a little talk. This is very sort of, I like it. And so I pulled away and got my book and then went and did some readings. I didn't get to take all of it in.
Well, I got Milk and Honey, but where else can people find it?
Well, if people are at PantheaCon, they can come to one of my workshops or events and they can buy the book from me directly and I will sign it for you if you so choose. People can find it at their local indie. If they don't have it in stock, just ask them to order it. You can find it at some of the major box stores. You can find it on Amazon. It's pretty widely available.
Nice.
And I also just self-published a companion workbook to
The
book. And that's only available from me.
And what's your website?
It's LasaraFirefoxAllen.com.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all the amazing things you're doing.
Thank you.
And then I hope your next few days aren't too overwhelming. Try
Have
and
fun.
Get some rest between all of your busy.
I will try.
Yeah.
We know that rest is not the main thing.
Not when you come here. So this time, friend, you rest afterwards.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
So a quick side note, we were going to just take over the lobby of PantheaCon, and then we ran into a little bit of trouble, which I didn't feel like dealing with. So we came up to our room, and we are broadcasting from the room. So if you are looking for us in the lobby, you won't be able to find us. We're hiding, and I'm not going to broadcast what room we're in. All right, so now where are we as far as break goes, folks?
We have 2 minutes.
Oh, sweet. So now we are being joined by a gaggle of witches.
Woo-hoo! Hi, gaggle.
Yay. Here we come, a gaggling among the halls so green. Here
You're
we come,
singing
a
for
wandering,
us.
Such witches
to be seen.
Yes. We have some traditional Wicca witches.
Thank you for making sure my hair is good for the podcast, Thorn.
Well, that's why we allow men on the tradition.
Yeah,
important what you look
like.
Yeah.
So we are being joined by Thorn Mooney and Jason Mankey and the gaggle of other folks who are hiding in the background.
If you call me a hangers-on.
No, never. So would you folks share a little bit about the tradition you're involved in and what you're excited about doing while you're here?
Jason and I are both Gardnerian Wiccans, which I think if you talked about that 30 years ago, more people would have a handle on what that was. Nowadays, I'm very surprised to be asked exactly what that means. So we practice Wicca kind of as it was originally conceived in the mid-20th century, coming out of Britain. And personally, I found that that's often quite a bit different than what people are exposed to initially when they explore Wicca. So I feel like Jason and I are a little bit different.
Well, yeah, I think it is really different to some degree. This is Wicca, and the founder of it didn't call it Wicca. He never called it Wicca. He called it witchcraft. He said these people are in the witch cult. So when I hear traditional Wiccan or traditional witches telling me that I'm not a witch and that I'm a Wiccan, I'm like, no.
Read a book.
Read a book. It's not right. Gerald only called it witchcraft, and he used the word Wicca with one C in a very particular way.
So it's like Jesus not being a Christian.
And yeah. But, you know, Gardner was practicing in the 50s and the 60s, and he was practicing before kind of the blow up of what we sometimes call the hippie movement. Right. I don't know if hippie is still a politically correct term.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Let's call it the American counterculture.
Yes, that's what we counterculture do in academia. Is good. Yeah. Mm.
Wise. That was wise.
But I mean, a lot of those influences are part of sort of the bigger, broader general pagan picture, and are certainly a part of Llewellyn Wicca, or you mm-hmm. go to the, you know, you start your own coven kind of Wicca.
Right.
And those things are absent mm-hmm. in Gardnerian craft.
Right.
Because it predates that. So it is really different, I think. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make a quick side note here. I have mentioned Jason Mankey a million times mm-hmm. on our podcast. And so he's here, like, live talking to us. I feel super stoked about that.
Well, it's that check I send you. I've dropped my name. So I'm glad it's working out.
Yeah, hopefully that's spilling back over to you somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So the con. Excites you about being at the con? What are you going to do? What are you looking forward to?
I was telling Jason earlier, my favorite thing about PantheaCon, this is only my second year. I've done the festival thing for a long time. I've been a pagan for decades, right? But second year at PantheaCon, and it's wandering the halls, being amongst people who I admired when I was 14, 15, 16. Like, mm-hmm. oh man, like Raven Grimazzi just spoke to me.
Yeah.
Right? Or that's Christopher Penzack, or oh my God, Selena Fox, and I'm like fangirling all over the place.
Yeah.
That's what's so exciting. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm in a hotel with history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Though I will say sometimes your beliefs about the people you idolize come crashing down. You know, I love Christopher Penzack too, but when he passed the Vassalist Chaps, you know, things were different.
Well, no, I was saying that it humanizes them too, though, right? Like
it does. So, and he did really wear assless chaps. I'm not kidding. I love Chris.
Talk about humanizing.
Yeah.
So go Google Christopher Penzack right now if you don't know who we're talking about, and you'll have a whole new image to add to that picture.
Well, I think pagans, like we, for all our talk of autonomy and blah, 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 like we have a huge celebrity culture. Like
we
love our big name pagans. We mm-hmm. love our authors. We are such a text based group of traditions. And, getting to see that, it's like those Us Weekly things where it's like, you know, Christopher Penzack, he goes grocery shopping just like us, right, or whatever. Getting to see that kind of the more human side of people, right? Like,
right.
It's what made me think, hey, I could write a book. And lo, it was so.
Yeah.
Once you think it, yeah. Start in the process, and not too long it comes into being, right?
It's like magic.
It is magic. Writer magic. All right, so we have a few minutes before we take a break, so I want to hear you guys babble on a little bit more about PantheaCon, and then when we come back from our break, I'd like to hear about the books that are going on.
Sure.
So,
Just do it now.
Okay, we'll just take a break now, and then we can talk about books. Good call, Alan.
You're listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron.
Radio. Whoa, who had that?
LNC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
Yeah, start a whole side
mission.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silos League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Boxy with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Western, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
All right, books. Mr. Mankey, would you like to start us off? Because you've got, like, what, 40 books out now? Something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I have two.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it's just like
close.
40.
Basically 40.
Last year, I wrote a book called The Witch's Athame, or The Witch's Athame, or The Witch's Athame. It depends on, or Athame, that's one of my favorites,
yeah.
Witch's Athame, depending on
Athame.
Where you live. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Midwest is where I learned to say the word, so to me it is an Athame.
Yes.
And on the West Coast, it is an Athame.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they're wrong. And
I beg your pardon.
It's true.
But if you all remember the show we did on the Athame,
we referenced this book a lot.
Yes, we did.
Well, it is the authoritative book on the Athame because it's the only book ever written just on the Athame.
There's so much good historical reference in it, though. That's what I appreciate because I've read some of the other The Witches, blah, blah, blah. I won't mention anyone's specific books, but yours had way more historical context and reference than any of the others.
Well, it's a series of books. There's The Witches Cauldron, which is coming out soon by our friend Tempest, The Witch's Broom, yep. The Witch's Wand, and then I've written two, The Athame and The Witch's Book of Shadows. I'm a history guy, mm-hmm. so I want the history mm-hmm. of those things mm-hmm. in the books. Mm-hmm. So I probably spent a little more time on that than other people. That and The Athame, though, is kind of an interesting history
yeah.
because while the word Athame is relatively new, people have been using knives in ritual now, magical ritual where they cast circles and call quarters for, Jesus, 700 years mm-hmm. at least. Sorry to invoke him. Dionysus, damn, 700 years. So, you know, it has a long history even before witchcraft was a thing in the modern world.
Right.
Yeah. And the Witch's Book of Shadows has even more history.
I'm in it.
And Thorne's in it.
Nice.
Mostly because you can't do anything with the Book of Shadows.
Right.
It's not like a tool you use in ritual other than to read. And the editor's like, no, everything has to be about the Book of Shadows. And like, but you can't do a damn thing with it. It's, you know,
you
really.
Hit people with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can prop authors with it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other. I should have had a chapter. Other uses for your Book of Shadows. Altar table wiggling? Book of Shadows.
There you go.
Forget a serving plate? Book of Shadows. All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so because of that, though, I got to do a lot of history. And one of the chapters I'm really proud of is a history of what I call the Book of Shadows out of the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the history of witchcraft ritual, it used to be that you had to be an initiate to get
right.
the ritual. And then in 1971, that began to change with the publication of a certain book by a woman who was initiated over the telephone. And then, this is true.
That's totally legit.
Yeah, Lady Sheba, Jesse Wicker Bell.
Okay, yes.
She was initiated over the telephone by Michael Howard, who passed away just a couple years ago, and his high priestess. And then they sent her the BOS. And then as soon as they sent her the BOS, she sent it to Llewellyn.
Wow.
And there we had Lady Sheba's Book of Shadows. And until 1971, there was not a book, you know, that here are the Sabbats, here's
right.
how to cast, you know, here's casting the circle, here's calling mm-hmm. the quarters. And it really sort of opened the floodgates. And then in the 70s, you had more books. In the 80s, you had more books.
Yep.
And now you can't go anywhere without finding a book of witch ritual online
mm-hmm.
in bookstores. But it's a relatively recent thing.
Yeah.
And so I document all the dates, you know, because I'm like that. And here are the different books. And this one is good. And this one is crappy. You know, I let my opinion get, you know, in there.
Good.
Yeah. But it's a lot of history. I think it's fun history.
Nice. So is it mostly history?
You know, there's some other things in it.
Any, like, secrets revealed?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
In my article. Yeah.
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 Totally give away everything.
Nice. Good. Good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can just, you can become a Gardnerian or Alexandrian
just
by reading,
reading
this
your book.
All of my
yeah.
people were initiated over the phone. I'm initiated over the phone by Michael Howard.
I just want to say that the last few sentences spoken were all bullshit. Please don't believe you can read that book and be officially initiated. There's no initiated happening over the phone.
See, though, I'm
no,
like,
no, no,
I'm
no,
a
no,
little
no.
more advanced than Thorne, though. We initiate over Skype.
I was going to say that has to be the
have
next
a Zoom
step.
Meeting and just
yeah.
initiate. No,
yeah.
that's
I live
not
in California. I wouldn't call it advanced.
Ooh. Yeah, whatever, North Carolina.
Best state ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We let everyone use the bathroom of their choice.
We're southerners. We do what we want anyway.
It's probably true.
All right, so Jason Mankey, where can people find your books?
They're everywhere because it's a Llewellyn book, so at every major bookstore. All the better metaphysical shops who know how to stock things properly.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, you know, one witch store that doesn't have my book or whatever. And, you know, it makes me sad.
that was a personal shot, by the way, right towards me.
There's
yeah.
some tears. Tears. you know, obviously you can get it online at places like Amazon and things.
Right.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. And Thorne has a book coming out soon.
That's right.
I knew a book coming out. Well, they have to not hate it first.
They're not going to hate it.
But yeah. I signed the contract, so.
So it's done.
Yes, and I have to turn it in a month.
Nice.
And it's mostly written. So it is a book that exists.
So tell us about it.
I'm writing a Seeker's Guide to Traditional Wicca because that is not a book that exists. And you'd think it would, but the major publishing houses, I've been complaining about this forever, the major publishing houses hadn't put anything out about the kind of Wicca that I practiced in decades. The most recent one that I thought of that was published by a major publishing house was Ellen Cannon Reed's Heart of Wicca, right? Like, and that was almost 2 decades ago. So
2 decades ago, holy crap, I'm old.
Yeah, and then
it makes me ancient, thank you.
And I was like, there's a market here because I know that these traditions, you know, these traditions are growing. Like, I mean, you can't throw a cat without hitting a bunch of gardenerians at Pantheacon. And I mean, I think people have this idea that there aren't traditional Wiccan witches running around.
Right.
And that's just so far. And the covens that I know are really healthy and growing. And there's no resources. Like, when a seeker comes to me and says, what can I read? I'm giving them books that were written 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, even though those books are amazing, nobody wants to read them now.
Like, yeah, sure.
Well, that and they're not really relevant in some way because the culture has changed. The culture has changed a lot.
Exactly.
You know?
So I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to do the thing. And it was actually here at Pantheacon last year. I just drank too much wine and I was like, we're going to the Wellen Suite.
Like you do when you're here.
Liquid courage.
Yeah. And I wrote a proposal. And anyway, they were pretty pumped about it. And I figured I'm going to write this book anyway. So it's looking like March 2018, provided all goes well. So that'll be a thing.
Nice.
And then when you, dear coven leader, have seekers that you give advice to, you can just be like, oh, I want to talk to you. Go read this book. So this is all for you. Oh, I'm sick of writing the same email over and over again. Just read this book.
Nice.
Well, that's excellent because that gives somebody a base and that, you know, you filled a niche that was really needed.
Right. Hoping so.
Oh, I know it so.
I really think we're in a new golden age of pagan publishing, though. There are so many more publishing houses. There are so many good books. I don't think books sell as much as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's pirating. But some of it's because there's just so many different titles available,
right.
And it caters more to specific groups and niches,
mm-hmm.
I think, than it used to.
So many specialty houses. I mean, one of the things about Pantheacon, like, the shopping is great because Fields Book is downstairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can go, and if you want something really specific on some kind of witchcraft practiced in this tiny place, whatever, right? Like, you can go downstairs and you can pay $80 and get that.
And I will. And then my wife will go, God damn it, Jason. How much did you spend at Fields?
On books?
Yeah. So there's so much good stuff out there. And I was like, I wanted there to be something that was a little bit more widely available, mass-produced, and just there for your typical seeker at Barnes & Noble who's going, well, who's this Gerald Gardner dude?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and it seemed like for a minute there, pagan publishing was a little bit Wicca 101, super watered down and lightweight. Do you
and
think
then,
that's changing?
Well, actually, I think for a while it was anti-Wicca. I think we've kind of been in a phase where people are like, oh, Wiccans.
Right.
Right? And they're talking about a kind of Wicca that, like, they kind of manufactured after, you know, the period that Jason and I are kind of operating from. So when people get really frustrated, like, when I'm wandering around and I listen to people at Pantheacon complain about Wiccans, they're not even complaining about people who I recognize.
Mm.
You know, like, what kind of Wicca are you guys, like, looking at that you're so, like, offended by it?
Well, one of the things about Wicca, too, is I think that the real magic in Wicca happens in a coven situation. Not that being solitary is illegitimate, not at all. You can have great solitary practice. But it's like when we come together for the big sabbat at the, you know, with the local pagan group, sometimes that can be great. And sometimes it's just really hard to write a good, effective ritual for 80 or 100 people or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You really, sometimes you just can't facilitate that magical experience that they want. But in a coven situation with 13 people or 9 people who work really well together, know the ins and outs of each other and the gods that they're working with. Wow, that's where the magic is. But those people who are complaining don't go to those
because
we don't invite them to those.
Right. Well,
and they don't think they're interested in going.
Well, and then showing up to events, and I love being told that I'm not a polytheist. Like, that's my favorite. Or that, like, I'm homophobic. Or I'm, right, like, the things that people will say about me because I'm Wiccan, right? Like,
right.
you know, having other people explain my tradition to me because they're offended by something that isn't even part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That's really fun.
So a lot of folks, especially people who are just entering into this whole Wicca witchcraft thing, a lot of folks think they know what Wicca is.
Mm-hmm.
Can the two of you take a couple minutes and just give a little bit of, I know that's a huge question, but what is Wicca compared to what you read in a book? Because Wicca is a secret tradition. It's
mm-hmm.
There's a lineage. You don't just give out that information. So if I go buy a book and it tells me I do this self-blessing and now I'm a Wiccan, how is that different from the traditions you're practicing?
Do you want to go? Or?
You can go first if you want. Wow, I'm like processing answers in my brain.
Well, kind of, I have a series of like words, you know, like boxes, like categories that I check that sort of like, to me, Wicca, what I'm doing, this is an oath-bound tradition of British traditional witchcraft that emphasizes a particular liturgy, a body of rituals that it's an emphasis on orthopraxy, right? Which
mm-hmm.
means that we might have different ideas about how the gods work or who the gods, right? Like there are theological questions at stake, but Wicca creates a space for that. So my particular worldview is very polytheistic,
mm-hmm.
right? The way we see the gods is something that I think most devotional polytheists would recognize.
Yeah.
And that's our relationship with them because that's how they interact with us. Whereas Jason's group might do things differently, but we're still operating within the same tradition because we're united by a shared history, a shared liturgy, and a shared orthopraxy, right?
Yeah, well, I think if you're trying to define, and I try to be broad with the
mm-hmm.
definition of the word, like
right.
just because you're not in an initiated Wiccan group doesn't mean you're not a Wiccan.
Sure.
I think anybody can be a Wiccan,
mm-hmm.
but could be a part of a particular tradition,
mm-hmm.
then you have to be initiated. And I think Wicca is really defined by its ritual practice. What do you do? Do you cast
yeah.
a circle, call quarters? Are you calling deity,
mm-hmm.
goddess, and or god? What are your holidays? Oh, we're celebrating the equinoxes and the solstices and the days in between. To me, that's pretty much Wiccan.
Yeah.
And there's not a test, I think, within Wicca for what your beliefs about deities are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some people who say all goddesses are one goddess.
Right.
And that's fine. And then there are, I know, atheist
mm-hmm.
Wiccans.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people like Thorne and I think, who are both polytheists. In Gerald's books, he says the not all powerful.
They're the small gods.
Yeah, they want people to be happy and the earth to be fertile, but they need help with that.
Right.
And I think that's in witchcraft today. I just know this because I've always reading these damn books to write books. And, you know, and to me, when you say the gods are not all powerful,
mm-hmm.
you're really kind of expressing a polytheist worldview
right.
in so many ways. You know, and I think different traditions within Wicca, like Alexandrian or Gardnerian or Blue Star or whatever they are, they usually pick a couple of specific deities to work with that might be unique to the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So you're inheriting those deities, and then you're inheriting the 60 years or 40 years or whatever it is of collected wisdom of the tradition and how they do ritual. And I think that's really important. In the Witch's Book of Shadows, I talk about, are there any secrets left?
Right.
Because people have been publishing Oathbound BOSs for years.
Right.
I think the first one came out just a few months after Gerald Gardner's corpse was cold. But there are still secrets because
yeah.
you have all of this history from all of these different priestesses and priests. And that's just not out there.
There's an oral component that gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Wicca is very much an oral tradition, or Wicca as we practice. Is an oral tradition. And so, like, you could get a hold of my Book of Shadows and I would be sad about it, but that wouldn't make you a member.
Mm.
That wouldn't give you
mm-hmm.
The right to what I was doing because you'd be missing
mm-hmm.
this huge component. It's the equivalent of, like, I can get a syllabus for a course, right? But if I'm not actually taking the course,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's a thing I'm not getting. So I feel like if you've got my BOS, like, that's nice, like, read the syllabus, but if you don't come to class, you're still getting an F.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good way of putting it.
I think Wicca is about doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about reading. It's about
Absolutely.
Doing. It's about being in the circle,
Absolutely.
Calling the powers that you call,
mm-hmm.
Celebrating the Sabbaths, and creating a family.
Yeah.
That's what a coven
yeah.
is. A coven is a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that people don't get about what a coven is supposed to be. You don't just, hey, we're going to form a coven. Who are you? That's not how it works. You know, we're
going to be Nancy.
Yeah. We're going to invite you into our coven.
Right.
Because we think that you are part of our family now.
Right.
And that's the perfect love and perfect trust thing.
Right.
It's not just a phrase. It's the definition of a coven.
Yeah.
That's how you have a coven.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think they know Wicca, but they don't have that experience.
Yeah.
So in some ways, they're really not experiencing
mm-hmm.
Wicca.
Yeah. The challenge for me in writing has been that I came in, like, I am a grown-up Silver Ravenwolf teen witch,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that is my generation. The craft was totally targeted at me, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's one of the greatest movies ever made, I still maintain. And I still adore Silver Ravenwolf and that whole generation of writers. And the hard part about writing this book was, how do I write something that puts across who I am now without disparaging these other communities that are so important to me,
mm-hmm.
right? And I agree with Jason. There are lots of ways to do Wicca. And when I talk about being Wiccan, that's not a reflection on other people's practice,
mm-hmm.
right? But it is tricky being in those spaces where I've got people, you know, woosplaining my tradition to me,
right?
Who they don't, like, they stopped reading books in the early 2000s, and because they thought they knew everything, they
right.
moved on. We talk about growing out of Wicca,
right?
Like, that's a phrase that floats around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I started with Wicca. Wicca's a good place to start.
Those are my pagan training wheels.
Right? No, but those are things that people say
yeah.
to us.
Yeah.
So yeah, and how do I write something that puts across this thing that I think is amazing without discrediting the stuff that's still so important to me and that's so important to other people? Because I do believe
mm-hmm.
there are lots of ways
mm-hmm.
to be Wiccan.
Yeah, I mean, I have a Gardnerian coven, and then we have an eclectic coven, and both of them mean so much to my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
One is not more important than the other. They're
right.
just different in a way,
mm-hmm.
but I both think they're Wicca.
Yeah.
They're both very British traditional witchcraft and, you know, how we talk and sort of how we operate and how we do.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
one of them does represent my more eclectic past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. That's kind of an innovator, I think, the eclectic path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You introduce new different things in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well,
yeah.
And I think personally, like, all of us have, I think it's a very American thing to think that you have to check one box. Like, what religion are you?
Right.
Like, that's not a thing that happens in other places in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always had toes in other spaces, and I'm part of other communities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of heathen communities, right? So, like,
yeah.
Right, being told that, like, well, Wiccans and heathens, blah, 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 like, you guys can't be friends. Like, I'm sorry, like, how much time do you actually spend in my communities?
Mm-hmm.
Or that, like, oh, well, you can't hang out with polytheists because blah, 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 and then being told what I believe.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
that's nice.
Right.
You know? I don't understand this obsession with erecting walls between
no.
our communities.
We're already a small enough minority as far as the religious world goes. We don't need to be making more walls between ourselves. It's just silly
right.
to me.
Being told that I'm not really a witch because I'm Wiccan, right? Or
oh,
I'm like,
I hate that so much.
Right? Like, I'm sorry, did you just get your first copy of the Cochrane Letters?
Mm.
Wow, that's adorable.
Who was the initiated Gardnerian? But we
yeah.
won't get into that.
Hello.
Yeah. You want to talk
so.
History with me? Let's go. We'll do it.
So where can folks connect with you or find out more about what you're up to or what you have a website you want to put out there?
You can find me on Pathios. My blog is called Oathbound. So if you go to Pathios on the pagan page, you can find me at Oathbound. I haven't written much in the last couple of months because I am killing myself on this book. My website is thornthewitch.com. And then you can also find me on YouTube. My username is Drawing Kenaz, like the rune.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you just Google Thorn Mooney, I'm like all over the internet. Because there's so many witches in North Carolina.
Those videos are amazing, too.
I'm drunk in a lot of them.
What do you do with these videos?
I just ramble.
Cool.
Usually my cat is there. I'm just like, hey, guys, it's Thorn, and I missed you, so let's talk about my day. P.S. witches.
The Greeks used to say that wine was the truth serum.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very honest.
Yeah.
So there you go. What about you, Mr. Mankey?
You can find me also at Pathios Pagan, which is a great site. despite what some people say.
Yeah.
And my blog there is called Raise the Horns. All you have to do is just Google Jason Mankey, and I come up. Though there are two others in the country, and I feel bad for them. But I come up first, damn it.
Well, there you go.
Nice.
There you go.
We really appreciate you coming
in. Thank you.
Flattered. Yeah, I was so flattered. Like, come and be on the show.
Yeah, please.
It's like putting down the single malt.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, she definitely talked a lot about you on the show about them.
Yeah,
so,
I did.
And she kept saying, you'll get him
get
on
this
our
book,
show.
Get this book. It's amazing.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
We'll have to up your checks.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, you know how it goes. Yeah. We try. So.
Where am I?
It's coming, honey. When the book comes out, we'll get you going.
See what I can do. Thankfully, my wife works hard.
Well, I think we want to go and thank you so much.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank
you.
So we're not done. We have more Pantheon Con
fun
for you.
We have more
Pantheon
Con fun. And we are just now bidding adieu.
So
we're
moving around and switching the room around a bit. So now you can hear us awkwardly move things around.
Yes, yes. We're going to get Brian in next.
Yay, Brian! Oh, and I forgot to say, Lacera was here earlier. Her book is amazing. It's a really great book.
Yeah. So thank you, and good luck with all that you do.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Take care. So many witches, so little time.
I know.
So we got roughly 20 minutes.
Okay, so now we have fabulous Gwion, who's been part of our team in Abstentia.
Yep. Gwion, and he is presenting this weekend at PantheaCon.
Oh.
So we wanted to hear a little bit about what you're doing.
So I love to sing and make noises, as you know. I make all kinds of noises. I love drumming. I love chanting.
Mm-hmm.
So I am co-collaborating this workshop with an amazing priestess and witch by the name of Shauna Aura Knight, and Shauna is all over the U.S. She's an incredible artist. She's a lecturer. She's a writer. And at PantheaCon last year, we started geeking out about music and how we both love how sound comes into ritual, not just singing, but the various sounds that might be chanting or clapping hands or bringing bells, you know, whatever it might be that you bring into ritual, and how sound can really add to the experience of ritual. So what we're going to do on Monday is invite however many people show up to our little shindig and create sound. And some of it might be song, and some of it might be noise, and some of it might be rhythm, percussion. But we're just going to make noise. I'm a firm believer that many, many witches and pagans and ritual practitioners think that singing only belongs to the choir,
right?
Or only belongs to the professional musician. And while professional musicians do incredible things, we can all make noise. We can all make sound. And so how do we bring our full musical selves, noisy selves to ritual? And that's what we're working on. So that's going to be fun.
So is this going to include as well, because on shaman work, they do a lot of, you know, they'll get into the growling and the tweeting and the birding and the different things that represent whatever they're feeling at the time. So is this going to actually carry that into it?
Could be, yeah.
well,
a little
there you
secret
go.
With Shauna and I, we're going to really rely on the people that are there. We have some pieces, some exercises. Like, imagine if we were all going to Disneyland. Shauna and I are sitting in the front seat, and we generally know where Disneyland is, but we're going to ask everybody in the back of the minivan with us to kind of give us directions.
Okay.
So, yeah, depending on who shows up and what happens in the room, it's really going to be very co-collaborative. For sure, we may well bring in sounds. There's one piece, for instance, where I imagine we're going to be working with water. And so there's a song that goes with that that we might sing. But if you think about water, there's all kinds of ocean noises, mm-hmm. and waves and drips, mm-hmm. and splits and splops. And so some of those will definitely come mm-hmm. in. So yeah, for mm-hmm. sure, we'll be bringing in all kinds of noise.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to tell me how it goes, because obviously I'm not going to be here on Monday to do this, I'm sad to say. But because I do like making noises. As a matter of fact, a lot of people that have worked with me know I tend to growl a lot if I'm upset or I'm dealing with people. So they'll wonder what's going on because I'm like, so, you know, and then I take my rattle out and I do something. So he's doing whatever he's doing over there.
Yeah.
I'm ignoring Alan right now. But so it looks like it's going to be something that's going to be innovative, but I think it's kind of interesting you guys are bookends. She starts the work here at Pantheacon, and you close the energy, not totally, but I mean, you're on the other side like a bookend.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. So I get the entire conference to do all of the things that I love to do at Pantheacon, and then just have to remember to be in the ritual room at 9 o'clock on Monday morning.
There you go.
Otherwise, I'm pretty much free and breezy the rest of the time, which is lovely, and that's one of the things I love about Pantheacon.
Yeah.
Well, we've asked our other guests what they love about Pantheacon and what they're looking forward to doing, or yada yada, so what is it? Tell us a little bit about what you like about being here and what you're looking forward to being, besides your workshop, of course. What else might you be looking forward to?
Well, so this example has been used many times before. I look at Pantheacon as like a sampler plate. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you're not really sure what you want to eat, mm-hmm. so you order the sampler plate?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like Pantheacon. So I practice... I'm initiated into three very different traditions.
Mm-hmm.
The reclaiming tradition of witchcraft is my home.
Mm-hmm.
I teach in that tradition. I priestess publicly in that tradition. I'll be at a public ritual in about an hour and a half. I love the reclaiming tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reclaiming tradition does some things better than any other tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm also an initiated Gardnerian,
mm-hmm.
so British traditional Wicca, like Thorn and Jason were talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
So those rituals are done very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily better, not just very different. And I also, one of the first traditions that I came to was a Druid tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So at Pantheacon, I can go and taste a Druid ritual. Earlier on today, I was at a fabulous ritual with the amazing Christopher Hughes,
mm-hmm.
and half the ritual was in Welsh,
wow.
which is, you know, that's my heritage. Mm-hmm. I'm from England and Wales, from Britain, and
mm-hmm.
so to do a ritual in a language that my soul recognizes, that mm-hmm. sings to me on a level very differently than mm-hmm. spoken English, that's not something I get to do in the reclaiming tradition,
right.
or even in British traditional Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
I can leave that ritual and then go to an amazing Oshun ritual,
mm-hmm.
Priestessed by folks perhaps in the African diaspora,
mm-hmm.
And who dedicate themselves to that work and
mm-hmm.
sit in and witness or maybe participate depending
right.
on that kind of ritual,
mm-hmm.
which is very different from anything that I might normally practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's panel discussions. There's lots of things up in the world today politically
mm-hmm.
that affect pagans, that affect, you know, with the pagan community, we are a queer community. We are a community of color. We
mm-hmm.
are a community of feminists and activists. And
mm-hmm.
at this conference, there will be panel discussions that draw on all of
right.
those resources.
Right.
And then my absolute favorite thing, and Thorn Mooney said something like that a little earlier, I love just bumping into people in this room where we're broadcasting
mm-hmm.
from. We've had 100 years of witchcraft. We've had people that have been practicing for 5 years, 10 years, that have written books, that practice this, practice
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And all over Pantheacon, there's 3,000 people here
wow.
that all hold some different kind of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, one of my favorite Pantheacon, quite frankly, is drinking.
Okay.
Don't do a lot of drinking in a lot of rituals because, you know, we alter sacred space
right.
through the magic that we do.
Right.
But being able to sit down, have a meal with somebody, have a nice glass of rum or scotch or whatever you do, go mm-hmm. to a heathen suite with good friends and quaff brilliant homemade mead,
right.
Toast the gods. That's what I love. The conversations that we have privately in the bar, in the
right.
restaurant. For me, that's what I love about Pantheacon.
Mm-hmm.
You can, it sounds like the beginning of a joke. You know, it's like a priest, a witch, and a heathen sit down at a bar.
Right.
That's exactly what Pantheacon is about.
Right.
It's all of the traditions coming together, sharing their wisdom and their knowledge and their generosity
right.
and their passion and their arguments and their debates,
right.
all of that. All in one place.
Right.
And I love that.
So oh, that's awesome.
Pantheacon. And also the drinking.
Well, the drinking, I can gather that. That's a good way to, what you were talking about, it's kind of loosening, bringing truth out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So where can people catch up with you?
So I have a couple different places people can catch up with me. At Pantheacon, I will mm-hmm. be at the Reclaiming Ritual in about
less than an hour.
Mm-hmm. So a little public priestess
mm-hmm.
And the workshop on Monday morning here at Pantheacon. Mm-hmm. You can also find me at Patheos Pagan.
Mm-hmm.
I co-write a blog there with Phoenix,
yes,
and it is called The Witches Next Door. I also write my own blog and have my own website at Witches and Pagans, and that is called To Be a Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am a very fortunate person to be a busy witch. Over the next several months, I will be teaching in Vacaville, California. I'll be teaching in Sebastopol, California.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be teaching in Baltimore.
Oh, my.
And I'll be teaching in Pennsylvania. So I have... I'll be all over the place this year. So lots of different places you can catch up with me. But tobeawitch.com or Patheos Pagan, The Witches Next Door.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Leon.
You're very welcome. And I'm off to the bar.
You're off to the bar. You're not going to the ritual?
Oh, yeah. Ritual, then
she's
the bar.
Going to the, he's going to the bar, then the ritual.
All right.
All right.
So we had a little extra time tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. We ran a little late because we wanted to make sure all of the folks who... we're going to come and join us at a chance, and,
mm-hmm.
But we don't have, we could have gone for another 20 minutes,
oh,
but
yeah.
I have to go to a ritual.
You have to go to a ritual, and we have to pack up and go home.
Do you remember what next week is?
Amaterasu.
All right, so next week is the Japanese goddess.
Of sun. Of the sun.
Amaterasu. At the normal time, Friday at 6, we'll be back
of
in
time.
Our regular scheduled program.
Yes, we will.
Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank
you. And if you're at Pantheacon, come and say hello. And yeah, have
Just
fun.
Have fun. Thanks. Enjoy. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.